This is Hope Radio on Moose FM, a non-denominational Christian celebration of life in song, spirit, and word. Here's Tim Rout.
Welcome to Hope Radio. Not everyone's going to heaven, even among those who call themselves followers of Christ, but why? And how did Jesus draw a distinction between his true followers and those who merely pretend? Our Heavenly Father, once again we enter your word to learn it and believe it and live it. And we ask that you would grant abundant grace for us to understand with clarity all that you have for us there. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's Sixpence None the Richer kicking us off. Trust.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Don't worry about tomorrow. He's got it under control. Just trust Him.
Opening hearts and minds to faith and joy on Moose FM.
We're in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him in the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the parable of the 10 virgins. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Just one meaning, one main point. And the main point of this parable is verse 13. "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." That's the point. Whatever else we discuss, whatever other implications or details stick in your mind, that is the singular point. Jesus is coming back, and you do not know when. So, be ready. Watch. The parable of the 10 virgins is one of the Lord's kingdom parables. That is, Jesus is teaching his disciples about what God's kingdom is like. Some kingdom parables deal with the here and now, how the church functions on earth. Some, as in this case, deal with the there and then. You'll notice verse 1 opens up with then. Jesus is talking about a future occurrence. This is consistent with what he was saying in Matthew chapter 24. That text deals in part with eschatology. The word eschatology comes from the Greek eschaton, meaning last things, the study of last things. So eschatology has to do with the last things that will happen when Jesus comes back. And let's pause for a moment just to make sure we're all on the same page. The Lord Jesus, God's one and only Son, the promised Messiah, came to this earth the first time in the first century. He was miraculously incarnated in the womb of the Virgin Mary, was born that first Christmas. He lived a sinless, exemplary life of obedience to God the Father, voluntarily gave his life on the cross to pay for the sins of all who would repent and believe in him. He was buried, rose on the third day, and about 40 days later ascended into heaven, where he now sits at the right hand of God the Father. But immediately after his ascension, an angel informed his apostles, as they looked on in amazement, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come back in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Acts chapter 1, verse 11. Jesus is coming back. The second coming of Christ is an essential Christian doctrine. Anyone who does not believe that Jesus is coming back bodily to this earth is not saved. In a sense, that's the conundrum facing 5 of the 10 virgins in today's story. Let's examine the text closely. Verse 1 again, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." To understand this parable, one needs to know a thing or two about ancient Jewish wedding traditions. When a man and woman marry, the man leaves his father and mother and joins to his wife in the one flesh covenant relationship that is marriage, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. And the woman is given by her father in marriage to her husband, Exodus chapter 2, verse 21. At the appointed time, the groom would travel, usually on a donkey or horse or camel, to the bride's parents' home to collect her for the wedding feast. The bride would wait eagerly for his arrival, and if it should take a while, there was no texting in those days, she would be expected to wait, even past sunset, with her lamp at the ready. Now, somebody usually puts up a hand at this point and says, excuse me, is Jesus promoting polygamy? No. There are two popular interpretations of this text found among conservative Christian scholars. The first argues that, since this is clearly a parable, Jesus is using metaphorical language. The Bible sometimes refers to the universal church, all saved people everywhere, as the bride of Christ. So, one bride, even though you have a plurality of persons, the wise virgins. Others argue one need not assume the Lord is using an identical metaphor to that found in other scriptures. They argue not all of the virgins are to wed the groom, but rather, most are the girls who commonly attended the bride on her wedding day, not unlike modern bridesmaids. In this case, one might argue that only one of the 10 is the actual bride, or perhaps that all of them are mere attendants. The Lord does not provide enough detail for an exact determination. But again, it doesn't matter. This is a parable. There is only one main point, and that has nothing to do with polygamy. So, 10 virgins represent people who identify as genuine citizens of heaven, followers of Jesus, true believers who belong in God's kingdom. Remember, this is all about the kingdom. And notice that all 10 are virgins. That is seemingly suitable for marriage. All 10 are carrying lamps. All 10 went out to meet the bridegroom. From a distance, you couldn't tell them apart, but there were two distinct groups. Verse 2, 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, man looks on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. These 10 virgins might have looked identical, but they weren't. Oh, I should mention, to call someone a fool in the biblical sense is to assert that that person does not know the Lord savingly. For example, Psalm 14:1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Or even Matthew chapter 7, verse 26, Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. These 5 foolish virgins had not built their lives on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Every local church that deserves to be called a church is comprised of people who claim to follow Jesus, but among each may well be fakers, God-haters who pretend a good game, at least for a while, but in the end prove to be absent of the eternal life they presume. Verses 3 and 4, for when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. Notice the fools have no oil, and the wise do. In the end, this will prove to be the one telling and determinative difference between the two groups. One has oil, the other does not. What does this oil represent aside from lamp fuel? We've said many times, do not go beyond what is written. In this parable, the Lord Jesus does not define what the oil represents, and we need to be very careful not to allegorize details he did not specify for us. However, much as the disciples already understood what a wedding was and why a virgin bride would be waiting around for her groom to come and claim her, the Lord's apostles would also understand clearly what the oil was about. You see, God had commanded in his law that an oil lamp be kept burning perpetually in the temple as a symbol of the presence of his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. That's Exodus chapter 27. Verses 20 and 21. Similarly, every king of Israel was anointed with oil as a symbol of God's Spirit resting upon him and empowering him for service, 1 Samuel 16:13. So here, and again, not to allegorize, but rather to connect the theological dots, as it were, The lamp oil metaphorically represents what it usually does, the Holy Spirit. 10 virgins represent people who call themselves Christians. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. 5 have the Spirit, 5 do not. Just as the Bible associates foolishness with unbelief and reprobation, so also the wise are genuine followers of the Lord, forgiven, saved, and obedient. Only the wise have oil. Verse 5, as the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. You and I live in the sleepy time. The Lord departed for heaven 20 centuries ago. He promised to return, and he will. But for now, we wait. Notice all the virgins, both the righteous and the unrighteous, became drowsy and slept. The wise virgins are not showing themselves to be faithless by sleeping. Bottom line, they don't know when the groom will come, and so they live in light of this. While Christians are called to walk as though Jesus could return this instant, we're also called to plan for the future, James 4:15. Leave an inheritance to our children, Proverbs 13:22. Invest in a godly legacy, Psalm 145:4. Yet none of our daily acts of service secure our eternity. All the virgins slept, but only 5 were ready. When Jesus comes or brings your life to an end, will you be ready? Verses 6 and 7. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. Notice the hour of the bridegroom's arrival, midnight. In the previous chapter, Matthew 24:44, Jesus had already said, "Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." And that's the point here. Whenever you think the Lord's coming, you're wrong. He comes like a thief in the night, and you will not correctly anticipate it. No one can. The wise virgins were waiting, lamps trimmed, ready. It all comes down to the oil. The wise virgins had the Holy Spirit in ample supply. They were saved. Only forgiven people have the Spirit of God indwelling them. That's the very first thing that happens when a person gets saved. The Holy Spirit regenerates him, takes up residence within his body, grants him the gifts of repentance and faith, removing the heart of stone and replacing it with a heart of flesh, soft and willing to believe. And out of that new regenerated nature, the person freely trusts Christ alone, turning away from his sins and embracing the Lord Jesus forever, washed clean of every transgression, made ready for heaven. It all comes down to the Holy Spirit. If you have him, you're ready. If you don't, no matter what else you may seem to have going for you, you've got nothing. Verse 8. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." My friend, I can't believe for you. You can't believe for me. I can't repent for you. You can't repent for me. And I can't hand you the Holy Spirit who indwells me. You must acquire him for yourself by bowing the knee to the only one through whom the Spirit is given, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, and while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Those who are ready get in. The wise virgins enter into the wedding banquet, and the venue is forever closed. You need to be ready. You need to have been forgiven of your sins and marked as one belonging to the groom. There is no plan B. There are no excuses. Verse 11. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." A lot of people waste a lot of time. They've heard the gospel. They know the stakes and figure, Got plenty of time. No, you don't. Or to put that more biblically, you have no way of knowing if you do. And Christian dad, Christian mom, you need to make it your very high priority to train your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Discipline them. Evangelize them. Teach them sound biblical doctrine. And if you know full well you haven't been doing that, well, repent already. If you've been setting a godless example or allowing all sorts of unholy shenanigans to go down under your roof, that ends today. Repent and start leading the way you ought. Back to verse 11. Notice the foolish virgins call Jesus Lord. We've seen this before. Matthew 7:21, false believers calling Jesus Lord right before he tosses them into hell. Merely calling Jesus Lord isn't enough. One must both confess and believe, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, and 100 other places. It's not enough to own a lamp. You've got to have oil. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you? The question has never been, what will you do with Jesus, but rather, what will Jesus do with you? It's not so much about knowing Christ, but rather being known by him. Does Jesus know you? When you die, or when the Lord returns, whichever comes first, will he know you? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Does the Good Shepherd recognize you as one of his beloved sheep? Are you part of the bride of Christ, the true church of all saved people? Are you? Are you really? Verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Believers live in continuous and joyful expectation of our Lord's return. Believers don't fear death and utterly repudiate anyone who demands that we should, because on the other side of death's veil waits our Master, our Sovereign, our God, who has ransomed us from death. As a genuinely saved person contemplates the Lord's return, it's not a thing to be dreaded, but anticipated. In the words of Revelation 22, verse 17, the Spirit, as the Holy Spirit, and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Look, at the end of the day, it's a simple thing. The Bible says you, me, and everyone are born sinners. We sin because we're sinners by nature. If you think the other guy's a sinner and you're doing pretty good, think again. Have you ever told a lie? God's law calls you a liar. Have you ever wanted something that didn't belong to you? God's law calls you a coveter. Have you ever looked upon someone in lust? God's law calls you an adulterer. And we've barely scratched the surface. James 2:10 says, for whoever keeps the whole law, but fails in one point, has become guilty of breaking all of it. Those who come before the judge of all the earth, as every soul will, who have not been marked by the indwelling presence of God's Spirit as children of heaven, are done. And you know not the day or the hour. So please, repent. Believe. Watch. And our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, that you would write it on our hearts. Oh, that you would extend saving grace this very moment to those of your sheep whom you would call to yourself this hour. And grant to those whom you have by your mercy made wise to wait with patient anticipation. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King, even Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Matt Boswell playing us out with his version of Psalm 150, Praise the Lord, on Hope Radio.
Singing together Psalm 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
You made the starry host, you traced the mountain peaks, you paid the evening skies with wonders. The earth is your throne, from desert to the sea.
Has served as a Christian pastor for more than 20 years. Listen every Sunday at 10 a.m. for more Hope Radio, a celebration of life in song, spirit, and word on Moose FM.